Are there any younger people now in the room who would be able to come up here and give me a hand? Please. Otherwise, the adults will have to participate. So, as you were worshipping, we've made a beautiful, joyful Christmas display. What do you think of our Christmas display? Oh, well, thank you for the cheer. What do you think, Grace and Greatness, of our Christmas display? It's good. You're all very kind. I feel a little bit underwhelmed by our Christmas display. Not just because I didn't have anyone to colour it in. You may not be able to see from where you are, but I'll just describe what we've got up here. We've got Father Christmas, we've got a reindeer, snowmen, gingerbread man, Christmas tree, stockings, fires, Father Christmas. Is that, are you happy with my Christmas display? Thank you. That's the right answer. Does anyone else ever feel a bit jaded and a bit worn out by all the preparations for Christmas that seem to miss the most important thing? I think there are some elves on one of the other colouring sheets, but Murray, as you didn't do any colouring, we missed the elves out. As we were praying this week, Barney prayed a prayer that really struck me. He prayed that we would be able to push past the smokescreen of all that society puts in our way at Christmas and discover the true joy of Christmas. And that's what I want us to do this morning. And this is why we have made this beautiful display, because I actually want to push it out of the way, because this is nothing to do with Christmas. We are going to push this one out of the way, Max. Right, we'll spin it around that way. There we are. So, here at the front, we do have some Christmas presents. And the Christmas presents are numbered, so we have to do them in order. Are you guys going to help me? If anyone else wants to help open Christmas presents, see if that appeals to anyone, do come to the front. One at a time. Okay, Max, you're going to start with number one. I feel like we need to get going. Could you help Max unwrap that present, that one? And what we're going to do as we unwrap these presents, we are going to discover what this joy is truly about. I want you to look and listen for the joy. What have you unwrapped? It's a megaphone of good news. Right. Who in the Bible had a megaphone of good news? Come on, I need some parallel thinking here, some creative thinking. Angels, John the Baptist, any other ideas? Jesus, those are all correct answers, but not the one I'm looking for. Which is always the way. The prophets. The prophets had a megaphone. Now, the prophets were a long, 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 long time ago. In fact, I want to go even further back than that. Last week in our Flames group, I'm trying to think if anyone here was in our Flames group, which is our 4 to 7-year-olds. I don't think we've got any of them from last week. Liz was here. So, Liz, we're going to ask you. We looked at the story of creation, in which we found out what a wonderful relationship God had with the people that he made. And then we discovered that that relationship got broken and people got separated from God. But God came back and rescued them. And we found out about how many years ago that promise was made. Well, how many years before Jesus that promise was made? Can you remember, Liz? No, she can't. About 4,000 years that promise was made before Jesus. That was a long, long wait. Advent is a time of waiting. It's a long, long wait. And then we fast forward to only 700 years before Jesus. And we get these prophets making these amazing promises. Do you like reading? Would you be up for reading? No? Yeah. Go on. Can you read this promise? This is from a prophet called Isaiah.
In that day you will say, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout out loud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Thank you. 700 years before Jesus arrived, Isaiah is saying, sing for joy. Sing for joy, for the Holy One is here. He was excited about God coming to be among them. So that was what the prophets were joyful about. Okay, present number two. Can we find number two? What have we got? We have a baby. Now, this isn't the baby that you think it is. This baby is called John. So we fast forwarded now those 700 years. An angel has visited Mary and told her that she is going to have a baby. And she rushes off to go and see her cousin Elizabeth, who is also expecting a baby, but she's a really old lady, so it's really unusual that she's expecting a baby. And the baby that she is expecting is going to become John the Baptist. So let's hear what happens when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. And I want to, again, listen out for the joy. Where's the passage? Here we are. Do you want to read another one? Right. I need a volunteer. Steve, thank you.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt into her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
Even the unborn baby leaps with joy. Isn't that just an amazing thought? This baby in the womb is leaping with joy. When he grew up, John's job was to point people towards Jesus. But even before he was born, he is pointing people towards Jesus as he leaps with joy. He just can't help himself. There's joy because Jesus is there. And there's joy. Elizabeth and Mary and John have joy because they get to be part of God's big story. And that's, you know, Elizabeth almost had quite a minor part, really. But she was so joyful that she got to be part of that story. And each one of us in this room has that invitation to be part of God's big story. And that should get us really joyful. Just like them, we have an invitation to be part of it. Okay, number three. Right, you should be able to guess this one. Socks. Who do we think this is? You want to turn around and show everybody. It's Mary. It's a puppet. You can put your hand in her. So Mary was so joyful that she sang a song. And this is the first line of that song. Do you want to read this one?
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour."
Mary was joyful because God was her saviour. But what does that mean? What is a saviour? Someone who saves us. Someone who rescues us. But what do we need rescuing from? What do we need rescuing from? We need rescuing from all the mess and the muddle that we're in because of our relationship, because of our broken relationship with God, what the Bible calls sin. Someone who was going to restore things back to the way they were meant to be. That's who the Saviour is. And isn't that what we're all longing for? We all long deep within us for things to be as they should be. And we know they're still not fully as they should be. We're in this in-between waiting time. But we know that what Jesus has done is enough to fully restore everything. And we are again invited into that story, into that relationship with Jesus to be part of that transformation. So that's all. Oh, they're on it. Yeah, keep opening it. Keep going. What have we got in this one? We have a host of angels. Well, we only manage three in the box. This is quite a short one as well. So, as I said at the beginning, the angels were joyful. They were so joyful that they filled the whole sky and sang songs. And this is what they said. You happy to read this one as well?
I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
The angels announced this good news was not just for Mary or for Joseph or the shepherds. It was for all people. So who does that include? Us, every one of us. This is amazing and exciting. Okay, present number five. What do we think is going to be inside this one? There is a bit of a chronology here. We've had Mary. We've had angels. What do we think's next? I'm guessing shepherds. Oh, you're right. They were very quick. Sheep and shepherds we've got. That's quite a long one. Should we find someone else to read that? Yeah. Thank you, Splenda.
The shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. They were so full of joy. They could not help telling everybody about the news. Have you ever had an encounter? They met Jesus and then they were full of joy. Have you ever had an encounter like that in which you've met Jesus and you are just so full of joy that you cannot help tell other people about it? It is a wonderful thing. And if it isn't something you've had, then look for it, seek it, because there is nothing better. Okay, what are we on to now? Number six. Mary, angels, shepherds, what do we think's next? Who was also joyful in this story? Yes, Tony. Kings. Yeah, here we are. We've got some very beautiful cloaks that the wise men may or may not have worn. Want to put them on? And have we got a Bible reading? Have we lost it? There we are. Jack, would you be happy to read one? Keep looking out for the joy.
When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They went to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped the child. They opened the gifts they bought for him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. So the wise men were driven by joy. They saw the star, it filled them with joy, and they kept pursuing it until they found Jesus. And then they had even more joy when they discovered him. Okay, number seven. This is getting trickier now. It's a very little one. What have we got in this one? A grandma and a granddad, she says. We have got two old people, an old man and an old lady. Does anyone know? There are quite a lot of old people in the story, actually, but we had Elizabeth at the beginning. Who are the old people towards the end of the Christmas story? Anna and Simeon. They had been waiting all of their lives until they were really grey and old and bold, where he was, for the Messiah, for Jesus to come. Let's hear what Simeon said.
Well, I'm needing glasses, sorry.
That's then, probably what he did say.
Then Simeon took the baby in his arms and thanked God. Now, Lord, you can let me, your servant, die in peace, as you said. I have seen your salvation with my own eyes. You prepared him before all people. He is a light for the non-Jewish people to see. He will bring honor to your people, the Israelites.
Thank you. They were full of joy because God kept his promise. They did have to wait a long time. Some people never saw Jesus. He did keep his promise and does keep his promises. And that is a reason to be joyful. Now, we seem to have two more presents, but we have got to the end of the Christmas story. Wait, slow down. Whoa. So what are all of these people and passages, who are they all pointing towards? It's the right answer. Jesus. All of these people were joyful because Jesus was coming or had come or they had met him. They were all joyful. So why have we got two more presents? Okay, let's open present number 8 and find out. It's a very skinny one. What have we got? You're going to hold it up for everybody to see. We've got a cross. Why does Jesus bring joy to the prophets and all those people? Because he came to go to the cross and he came out the other side victorious. If he didn't, he would have brought a bit of joy to his parents, hopefully, as every newborn baby should. But this baby was more than that. He was a special baby and he came to do something extraordinary. And I want you now, the next account we're going to listen to, fast forward through the whole life of Jesus, past his death to his resurrection, to the first time that he appears to his disciples in the upper room. And listen again for the joy. Do you want to read this one? That's
this one, actually. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
When Jesus rose from the dead, he brought a new revelation of joy to his disciples. Do you know that joy of the resurrected Jesus? But maybe you're going to say, but Jesus isn't joy. So we've actually got another Bible passage here, which was written by the believers after Jesus had returned to heaven by Peter.
Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him, now you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
So that joy is still available to us today, that joy of the resurrected Jesus. But we still have one more parcel to open. Go for it. You're going to have to use your imaginations to work out what this is. Right. Do you want to wave those around a bit? Any ideas what these might represent? Yes, Jack. Oh, well done. We have some fiery pom-poms. What are they called? Pom-poms? To represent the Holy Spirit. Because I couldn't find any doves. We have a huge privilege. We don't have to wait 4,000 years or 700 years or 80 years like all these people for Jesus to arrive. Jesus has arrived. But we are still in a new in-between time, a new waiting time where Jesus has come and has been victorious on the cross. But we're still waiting for him to come again. And he has promised he will return and make all things new. But he hasn't left us on his own. He has sent his Holy Spirit. And the Bible uses lots of different images, doves and fire and water, to represent what the Holy Spirit is like. Would you like to read this one out?
And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit brings that joy. The joy that all of these had was a joy brought about through the Holy Spirit. And a bit later, we would love to pray for you if you want a bit more of that joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for your help. That's amazing. We're just going to watch a short film now.
The party's over. The music no longer playing, the candles have burned down, and a few leftover napkins and some trash are scattered on the floor. You've seen the last guest to the door, and clicking the latch after them, you take a deep breath as you turn to face the cleanup. There's no more laughter in the air, and you wonder, is this all there is? Maybe the next one will be the peak. The next elation will be higher. We live from one celebration to the next, but somehow, it's never all we think it's going to be. The birthday party, the graduation party, the engagement party, the bachelor party. The world teaches us that we can't be satisfied until we hit the next milestone, and then the next after that. Nothing is ever enough. Someone once said all people live lives of quiet desperation. But desperation for what? It feels like we're on some kind of cosmic treadmill, reaching out for a dangling carrot that we'll never actually reach. But that feeling is not a mistake. It's not a conspiracy, not a trick. When we discover in ourselves longings that nothing in this world can satisfy, it means we were created for another world. When we feel unnameable desires that pierce our hearts and stir up something in us that we can't describe, we were made for joy. And not the kind that passes when the party's over. Deep, abiding joy that isn't rooted in circumstances or accomplishments, but in the eternal assurance of participating in God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Joy is a surprise. It's always subverting worldly expectations. Joy is finding the King of the universe as a baby in a manger. This Christmas, through Jesus, we have joy.
We want to give you the opportunity to step through. We were going to sort of put the things here, but it's going to be too difficult. We want this opportunity to step through the haze of the noise that we're surrounded by at Christmas and come to this table, which is the source of joy. It was 37 years ago I was 18. I know it's hard to believe. I was at sixth form college. I'd heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the story we've told. I've heard it, I don't know, countless times. A friend invited me to a mission, a presentation of the gospel, and I sat and heard someone talk about Jesus, and it was like I heard it for the first time. And it demanded a response from me. Before was different. I could have chosen one way or, well, I didn't, I was indifferent. But this time, it demanded a response from me. It was just too important to ignore. Holy Spirit had taken hold of my heart. So, we, as we thought about today, wanted to give you the opportunity to take that step for yourselves, if you have yet to make it. At that time, all those years ago, I went off and sat with this guy, and he led me in a prayer. Sunday, would you pray that we just have to pray and everything's, you know, this prayer that I'm going to put up reflects just the essence of what it means to step into this relationship with Jesus. It's a stepping stone. It's a starting point. It's an opportunity to say sorry for the sins that we've committed, the things that we know that we do that are not according to God's best, his will and his purpose for us. It's an opportunity to say thank you to God for what he's done for us in the person of Jesus. And then it's an opportunity to say, please come and fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and let me live for you from this day forward. I prayed this prayer and life was never quite the same again. And if you haven't prayed this prayer, can I encourage you? If you feel that sense of yes, if something inside you is going, yes, this is, there's something in this. I want this joy. I believe that actually Jesus is going to be the source of this life-changing joy. And next week, Anna's going to talk about peace. And I'm going to talk about love the week after that. Can I just lead you in this prayer? Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Jesus just loves it when we turn to him in this way. So let me lead you. And if this is a prayer that you want to pray, or maybe today it's a recommitment. You prayed this prayer, but you've taken your eye off him. Let me lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me so much. I now turn away from everything I know is wrong, all the bad stuff. Thank you that you died so that I can be forgiven. I put my trust in you and what you did on the cross. And now I open the door of my heart and invite you to come into my life by your Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.